And welcome back to Pundit Review Radio, AM 680 WRKO, Boston's talk station. Right now, it is my great pleasure to welcome back to the show Jeff Jacoby, Boston Globe opinion columnist. Welcome back, Jeff Jacoby.
Hey, Kevin. Great to talk to you.
Thanks for coming back on. It's great to have you, especially on such a big...
Boy, I was on... I remember you when you weren't a great big national radio and internet star.
Yes, back in the very early days.
Kevin Whalen when?
Yes. maybe it was the credibility we got from interviewing you, Jeff, that launched us.
There you go.
It launched us. Exactly. Well, thank you for coming back on. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Sure.
Let's start with the big news of the weekend. Joe Biden, lukewarm reception, both on the Democrat side and the Republican side. What's your take on Joe Biden?
I guess my reaction was that he's not a disaster, but that this is certainly not anybody who's going to get, Democrats who are on the line about whether they're going to cross over from Hillary Clinton to Barack Obama to jump out of bed filled with enthusiasm. It's been generally understood in the Democratic Party for a long time that you don't get elected president unless there's a Southerner on the ballot. JFK got elected with LBJ running with him, and obviously Clinton and Gore were both Southern or both border state. And this time around, you've got a senator from Illinois and a senator from Delaware, so I'm not sure. We'll see if that old rule of thumb that the Democrats need somebody from the South to be able to win a presidential race continues to hold true. The conventional wisdom seems to be that Obama knows that he's weak on foreign affairs and weak on defense issues, and this is supposed to be a strength of Joe Biden. I've never been all that impressed with Biden. He has always struck me as kind of a windy motor mouth who really likes to hear himself talk but isn't particular about what he's actually saying. We'll see if he catches fire and he turns out to be, hot stuff on the stump, then I guess it'll turn out to, everybody will decide that it was a good pick. But I don't know. I saw a quote somewhere. I forget who it was. Somebody said that Joe Biden would be a stupid voter's idea of a smart voter's candidate. And, maybe having campaigned alongside him for a year and a half, whatever, however long it was until the New Hampshire primary when he dropped out, Obama found something about Biden that was impressive. All I can say is Democrats didn't seem to be impressed. He never caught fire. He never got up more than a 1 or 2 or 3% of the polls. He dropped out right after the New Hampshire primary. So who knows? Is it possible that somebody who absolutely went nowhere as a candidate for president will enable Barack Obama to become president? I guess we'll find out.
He'll light the world on fire. Well, let's get a taste of his foreign policy experience. Rob, can you... cue up a taste of Joe Biden's foreign policy expertise for us, please. This one, I think, has to do with the war in Iraq. Is that right?
It's right after Petraeus testified.
Okay, last fall.
Mm-hmm. Senator Biden, did you hear anything today from General Petraeus or Ambassador Crocker that changed your views on what's happening in Iraq?
No, not at all. And I had a chance last Thursday, Jim, to be in Ramadi and in Baghdad with the ambassador. And what I saw there and the conference I attended there with the Sunni tribal leaders and the Sunni vice president and others made me even more certain that this surge isn't working.
Jeff, this kind of fits in with your hindsight in Iraq column of a week or so ago.
How are the Democrats going to pull this off? Barack Obama, it's funny, there's sort of a double reverse here. Obama is running for president, and his strongest selling point, at least on the Democratic left, has been that he was supposedly against the war from the very beginning. And in the primaries, that was his great suit. That was the card that he was always able to play against Hillary and the others. I was against the war back from the beginning, and you guys weren't. That's the litmus test. That's what proves that somebody's ready to be a Democratic nominee. So, number one, he picks a running mate who voted in favor of the war resolution. All right, well, Biden wasn't the only one. But then comes the surge in which Obama has been famously wrong and is digging his heels in, refuses to say that he would have done anything differently. So what does he do? He goes and he picks somebody who made the exact same mistake. On top of that, somebody's bound to point out sooner or later, or dig out the quotes from Biden. I can remember when he came to the Boston Globe for an editorial board meeting, and he was talking about how the best thing for Iraq would be just to face reality and let it be partitioned into three different parts. You know, there will be a Kurdish state, a Sunni state, and a Shiite state. I think most people today realize that that would have been, that would have locked in place the sectarian violence that, that seemed to be so unstoppable before the surge took place.
But, Jeff, the interesting thing about that is that puts him in the elite cream of the crop of Democrats who are actually interested in Iraq, the fact that he actually offered up a solution instead of just a retreat plan.
All right, that's true. If offering a solution is, if you get points, even if it wasn't the right solution,
I think you have to.
I guess that's something. I don't know if the Obama campaign is supposed to be all about change and new thinking on foreign affairs. Joe Biden, who's been in the Senate for what, 35 years, hardly seems like the change agent. And his views on foreign policy have always struck me as very conventional. Whichever way the wind is blowing, that's the way Joe Biden blows.
Jeff Jacoby is our guest. Joe Biden is the topic. 617-266.
And Joe Jacoby's a football player.
Yes, and I think he's a Hall of Famer too, Jeff. 617-266-6868, toll free 877-469-4322. What do you think that Barack has to accomplish this week at the Democrat National Convention?
Well, let's see. Number one, he's got to win back some of those disaffected Hillary voters. What was the number that was floated around? Some poll found that something like one out of five Hillary voters are now saying that they'll vote for McCain. A smaller percentage of Democrats say that they're supporting Obama than the percentage of Republicans supporting McCain, which is not what anybody was expecting. We were all told that McCain would never be able to win a strong support among the majority of the Republican Party, and yet he seems to be doing better among Republicans than Obama is. So I guess number one for Obama is to heal some of those wounds with the Hillary people. He's also got to somehow, I think, neutralize the damage that McCain has done to him over these recent weeks. For all the talk about Paris Hilton's comeback ad, I think the McCain people have done a good job of raising this idea that Obama is a celebrity. He's not the candidate of substance. He's the candidate of celebrity. He's got, people are swooning in the halls when he comes into the room. But where's was it the Mondale campaign back in 84? Where's the beef?
Yes,
the commercials they did back then.
Yeah.
Where's the beef? He kept saying about. I think it was about Gary Hart or something. Barack Obama's got a lot less beef than Gary Hart did, and he's going to have to do something, I think, to reinforce the notion that there's some real substance. And I guess that he's going to have to figure out a way to get the conversation off his qualifications and back onto the Democratic talking point of, McCain equals a third Bush term.
Yeah,
as they can focus it on Bush, then all of the Democrats have their juices going. They're all angry with George Bush. They all want to, they all want to punish Bush. If Obama can somehow use this convention to relaunch the notion that the McCain campaign is really the third Bush campaign in drag, then it'll be a success for him. But I don't know. It's that's a lot to do. It's funny because all along we'd been saying that the enthusiasm in this presidential year was on the Democratic side. The excitement was with the Obama people, and yet lately it's kind of seemed. Hasn't it seemed that the air is sort of going out of the Obama balloon a little bit, and the enthusiasm level on the McCain side has been increasing somewhat. So we'll find out if that's just been a blip or if there's a fundamental change that's underway. But that's Obama's job at this campaign, at this convention. Get people talking about a Bush third term and convince them that there really is some substance to this guy who's been a U.S. senator for less than 4 years.
617-266-6868, toll-free nationwide, 877-469-4322. Jeff Jacoby from the Boston Globe is the guest. Jeff, let's say McCain moves on in his next phase of ads from the celebrity to the let's question the relationships in this Barack Obama fella's background and brings up people like Bill Ayers and Reverend Wright again. Would you call that fair game or dirty politics?
I would absolutely call it fair game. I've never shared this notion. I think I might even have written a column once on this theme, that all of this pious talk about how negative campaigning is so evil is a crock. Negative campaigning is really just an un-euphemistic way of describing what candidates do when they draw distinctions between themselves and their opponents. Negative campaigning today is nothing like what negative campaigns were in America 200 years ago. You should go back and look at what Jefferson's people said about John Adams and what Adams's people said about Thomas Jefferson, that was really, you know, slime from the gutter. Today they talk for the most part about characteristics that are in some way relevant, either because it's about the issues and the stance of the candidate, or it's about, as in this case with Bill Ayers and Jeremiah Wright, the people that the candidate has identified himself with and has surrounded himself with. You know, I'm sure that there are a lot of people who had their fill of the whole Jeremiah Wright conversation. I don't think we're finished with it. I think it did serious damage to Obama's brand. And I think that the McCain people will find a way to remind voters between now and November that this was the guy that Obama described as his mentor, as his guiding light, as the person that he was spiritually the closest to, the one whose church he attended for 20 years, the one whose book he, named one of his books after a sermon by this guy, and just remind people of what it was that Jeremiah Wright stood for, and in some ways most damning of all, that 2 weeks or 3 weeks after saying that he could never disavow Jeremiah Wright, he did disavow him, but not because of anything Wright had said about America, rather because Wright, he said, didn't show him enough respect.
And then he got compared to Lincoln in the Gettysburg Address for his troubles.
Isn't that something? Isn't that something?
Nice gig if you can get it. Hey, Jeff, we got to take a quick commercial break.
Sure.
When we come back, I want to get your take on what John McCain needs to do with his VP pick. Jeff Jacoby from the Boston Globe is our guest. More coming up right after this quick commercial break on AM 680 WRKO, Boston's talk station.
Delaware, the largest growth in population is Indian Americans moving from India. You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent.
There he is in action, Joe Biden on the campaign trail. Welcome back to Pundit Review Radio. Jeff Jacoby from the Boston Globe is our guest. I'm going to take your phone calls at 617-266-6868, 877-469-4322. Let's go to Peter in Canton. Welcome to Pundit Review.
Hi, Kevin. Good show.
Thanks, Peter.
I'm going to throw my vote to John McCain. I think he's clearly the best man at this time for the country. I really hope he doesn't pick Mitt Romney. I don't think Romney is tough enough for the job. I think he'll probably go with Joe Lieberman. I look at Mitt Romney. I think he's a fellow that knows how to make a buck for a company, or he's a boardroom type guy. I really can't ever picture Mitt Romney dealing with people like the North Koreans or Gaddafi, or God forbid something happened to the president. I just don't think he's tough enough.
Jeff, what's your take on Mitt Romney?
You know, we're all familiar with the weaknesses of Romney and the things that doomed his candidacy when he was running for president. He definitely has some strengths. I think to most voters he seems like a solid and accomplished person, and he is a solid and accomplished person. He's extremely bright. I've had enough personal observation of him to know that it's not just a facade. There's, you know, very serious smarts and a powerful mind there. Just how deep his views on certain political issues go became, you know, one of the deciding factors in the campaign. You know, it's hard to know what McCain's ultimate litmus test for a vice president will be. I tend to think that he needs to pick somebody who will reinforce the sense that this is that the Republicans have a ticket that's solid, that's substantive, that's experienced, that isn't that in Hillary's in the famous phrase of Hillary's commercial, that's ready to take that 3 a.m. telephone call. It's true that Romney doesn't have a whole lot of experience in foreign affairs or defense issues. On the other hand, you know, he's got the sort of economic business portfolio that McCain admittedly doesn't know a whole lot about. I don't know. I don't think that there are any perfect candidates out there for vice president. There are some that I definitely would not like to see that I hear people talk about. They talk about Charlie Crist, for example, the governor of Florida. I wouldn't like to see that. There's been talk for weeks about Condoleezza Rice. She said that she isn't interested, and I hope that that's true because I think that she would be a pretty poor candidate. But I don't know. Could it be somebody like Romney? Could it be somebody like Huckabee? You know, that would certainly put to rest an awful lot of concern among you know, pro-lifers.
Huckabee would go a long way to shoring up the base in one, you know, fell swoop.
Right. It would also you know, cost something among, let's say, those Hillary voters that McCain's hoping to be able to land, you know, some of whom he's hoping to land. I don't think there is any candidate that's going to be able to do everything for him. So he's got to figure out, when he makes the list of pluses and minuses, which one comes down with the most. I'll tell you this. I mean, we all know that this is a Democratic year. Do you know that Bill Clinton, followed by George W. Bush, two-term president, followed by a two-term president of the other party, you know, by two-term presidents, one following each other, is the first time that happened since Madison since Madison gave way to Monroe.
Wow.
Back at the beginning of American history. Voters usually don't like to keep things in the same party for more than two terms. It's very uncommon, and for the past, I don't know, 50, 60 years, after every two-term president, there's been a change of party. So, you know, it happened after Clinton, and now, you know, the gods of history may be saying that it's going to happen after Bush as well. One of the things that I think McCain needs to be adding to his mix of arguments, and maybe they'll use their convention in Minneapolis to make this point, is the danger of undivided government, the danger of having all of government in one hand, you know, in one party's hand.
Shouldn't the Republicans know that as good as anyone?
What's that?
The Republicans should know that as good as anyone.
Well, you know, they'll be able to remind Democrats who have been complaining about Republican control of, you know, both ends of Pennsylvania Avenue, why it is that Americans tend to prefer divided government. Obviously, that's only an argument that you use when you don't have any chance
right.
of winning one branch. Then, you know, you use that argument to try to convince people to give you some votes for the other branch. But I think that there's merit to it. I think that we tend to be better off as voters and as taxpayers and as citizens when we don't have one party dominating all of the levers of power in Washington.
Or in Massachusetts on Beacon Hill.
Well, you know, Romney made a lot of hay, and he managed to get himself elected in part with that, remember the Three Amigos campaign back in, what was it, 2002? When he, was it 2002? 2000? When Romney ran for governor. And he, you know, toward the end, the last couple of weeks, he began unveiling this campaign theme about don't elect Shannon O'Brien, because if you do, then all of Beacon Hill, governor, House, and Senate, will all be in the control of one party. They'll be the Three Amigos, he called them. Or the Gang of Three. I think that's what it was.
That's,
you know,
more
so
appropriate.
There's an argument that McCain's people should be making along those lines as well.
It's funny when you bring up the Shannon O'Brien campaign against Romney, I think about Tim Russert and the role he played, absolutely buried her in that debate. And
I still remember it, right, yeah. Shall I show you my tattoo, she said?
Exactly.
The words that she will regret probably for the rest of her life. You know, I think for the Republicans, for the McCain ticket, whoever he runs with, the biggest thing that it comes down to is getting across the notion that Obama is a giant question mark. That if you go with Obama, if you vote for him, you are just throwing the dice and trusting everything to blind fate. This is a guy who had less than 4 years in the U.S. Senate, and before that a few years in the Illinois State Legislature, the kind of guy who voted present on all of the controversial bills so that he wouldn't have to take a stand, somebody who's not known for having accomplished anything of real substance. Maybe he would be a great president. You know, I mean, his people love to point to Abraham Lincoln and say, well, he didn't have much experience either. But it's a mighty big gamble. You don't get Abraham Lincolns very often in a country's life.
That's right.
And I think that if there's one message for the McCain people to push, it's remember, voters, Obama equals one big question mark.
Yeah, I think we'll hear a lot more between now and November, the statement from McCain, not ready to lead.
Right.
Hey, Jeff, thanks for joining us. Jeff Jacoby from the Boston Globe. Hope to have you back again and
absolutely
focus on some state issues, because God knows there's a lot going on in Beacon Hill as well.
You're right.
Jeff
Kevin,
Jacoby,
thanks a lot.
Thank you so much. Jeff Jacoby, everybody, great to have him as part of the show. Rob, great job tonight putting all this sound together. Earned your paycheck once again. Thank you. Bruce McQuain, thank you for coming back with another great edition of Someone You Should Know. And we will be back right here next week. Check us out all week online. PunditReview.com is the blog. Keep in touch.